Good to be with you this morning on this Memorial Day weekend. Before we get started, I have just a few announcements that I'd like to make. It's going to be a busy week around Trinity. It's an important week in the life of this church. Next weekend will be the celebration of Dan's retirement. But there's some things we want to let you know about leading up to that. So next Sunday, we're also going to be having a Nothing But Nets tournament at the youth area in the back, 3-versus-3 basketball tournament. All proceeds going to purchase malaria nets in Africa. So you can register for that still through this Wednesday, June 1st. So if you have a team, and it looks like there should be several teams here in the room, register online for this by Wednesday. Also, we are collecting memorial pages, or memory pages, I guess is what they're called, memory pages for Dan and Jan's scrapbook. That's going to be on 8x11 cardstock paper. I'm going to actually mention that a little bit later as well. But if there's something, if you want to submit something, maybe it's a photograph or a memory, something you and your family share with Dan as pastor of Trinity, you can turn those into the bookstore on Kim Lorenz by Thursday. We would appreciate that. And then inside your bulletin today, you'll see the keepsake program for Sunlight's tour coming up. And you can fill those out and turn those in by next Sunday, right, Aaron? Yes. All right. So, but the big news of the week is going to be Dan and Jan's celebration on Saturday. Hopefully you RSVP if you're planning to come. It's going to be 11 o'clock is where it begins here in the worship center, and then it'll carry out onto the ground for a barbecue picnic. It's going to be a really, really fun time. And then on Sunday, June 5th, we're going to have one worship service here in the worship center at 9:40. One worship service at 9:40. We expect to have this room packed, but it's going to be a beautiful service as we worship God together with Dan for the last time as our senior pastor. So you won't want to miss that. So on to our mission box this morning. It's our tradition around here that on the fifth Sunday, it happens twice a year, we have a mission box to support the Madison Youth Ranch, which is part of the Florida United Methodist Church Children's Home. And this ranch is a place of love and safety for children who are in desperate need of both. Trinity has a long history of being very generous with this organization and hope that you will continue to do so this morning. Please give any of the five mission boxes that you see on your way out this morning. So that's our announcements, our mission box. I'd like to welcome those of you who are watching online this morning. We're glad that you're joining us as well. If you're here for the first time today, we're glad that you're with us. If you're looking for a church home, we hope that you'll consider Trinity. Please, everyone, take an opportunity to fill out the Connect card during the service and pass it in at the appropriate time. It's a useful tool to us in our ministry here at Trinity. But we're glad that you all are here. We have this tradition now that we hope that everyone who comes to Trinity feels this way. But welcome home. Why are we here? Let us worship God together.
Good morning. Please stand and let us worship together with our opening hymn this morning, Come Thou Fount.
Using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite all of our children who are present in our worship service today on up. We're going to do a moment where we call it children's chat. Come on up. Don't be shy. Come on up. This way. I promise. All right. Do we have any others? We do. Keep coming. It's awesome. The more the merrier. Come on. Come on. You're fine. I like your shoes. They're pretty. All right. Well, this weekend we are celebrating Memorial Day weekend. And does anybody know who are we remembering? Memorial means to remember. Who are we remembering this week? Does anybody know? Yes. Veterans, yes. Veterans, do we know what a veteran is? A veteran is someone who has served. We're actually, go ahead, do you want to go ahead and answer? In any of our armed forces, yes, someone who works in our armed forces, we're actually remembering the soldiers who gave up their lives, who lost their lives, fighting for freedom and defending our country, fighting overseas, away from our country, for the freedom of other people. And so we're remembering their great, great sacrifice. We have a lot of freedoms in this country. Can you guys think of any? How about this? We get to gather together and worship God out in the open and praise God's name without worrying about someone coming and trying to hurt us or worse, try to kill us. There are people around the world who don't have that freedom. We have all kinds of freedoms. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom to get an education. There are other people around the world who don't have those kinds of liberties, and our wonderful military people serve all around the country. Some of them end up giving up their lives in sacrifice for others. Now, there's somebody else who came to earth who gave up his life so that we could have eternal life
freedom. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Yes, Nathan. You say it louder.
Jesus, that is right. And Jesus told us that the greatest love is when someone will give up their life for the sake of their friend or another person. And when we remember all of the soldiers who gave us their lives, these brave men and women, they remind us of Christ's sacrificial love. And a cross also reminds us of what Christ did for us, right? He died on a cross so that we could have everlasting life and be free from sin and death and experience life abundant here and now and then eternity. And so I made two crosses. We're going to give you two pipe cleaners, and I'm going to invite you to come up with your own cross. Because the cross not only reminds us of Jesus, but it also reminds us of all of those in our lives who point us to Jesus. And so you can keep this cross to remind you of that great love, or you can give it to somebody before you leave today who reminds you of Christ's wonderful love. Will you all pray with me? Courageous and loving God, thank you for all the soldiers who gave their lives in pursuit of freedom. Thank you for their pursuit and passion for justice. And we thank you for Jesus who gave his life so that we could have everlasting life. Help us never take these freedoms for granted. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so before you go today, Brian's going to help me. We're going to give you two pipe cleaners, and you can create your own cross. Whatever comes to mind for you. As you go, and then you're going to keep that cross or give it to somebody who reminds you of Christ's love and demonstrates that in your life. I'll see what you do with that extra one. Remembering today? Jesus and all of the soldiers who gave their lives for our freedom that we enjoy. All right, thank you all so much. You can head back to your chairs, make a cross, and then we'll see what you do with it. All right, thank you for coming up. Did everybody get some? As they're going back, we're going to go ahead and take a look. We're going to move into our time of prayer together. And I wanted to share with you all of those that we're visiting with in the hospitals and in the rehab. If you or anyone you know or love is in any of these facilities, please don't hesitate to let us know. You can call the office, you can call me, you can use the Connect card. But with our HIPAA laws, we are prohibited from knowing that they are there any other way than you telling us that they are there. So please let us know. Our care team is more than happy to go spend time and visit with them. In addition, we want to remember all of those prayer requests that come in each week, and we update that list every week in the narthex, and you can pick that up on your way out if you would like. If you have a prayer concern or need, and you would like to let us know, you can use the Connect card for that and place that in the offering statement that comes by shortly. We also want to remember, as we talked about in our children's chat, all of those who have given their lives in service to this country and around the world. We want to remember and hold in prayer all of those who are grieving their loss this weekend. And I wanted to point out that our flowers this week were dedicated by Dr. Richard Nyberger in honor of his son Christopher Nyberger, who was killed in action in 2007 in Iraq. To begin our prayer time today, we have a video that will honor the lives of our soldiers. Offers a time for silent prayer at the end, and then we'll continue in prayer together as I lead us into the Lord's Prayer. So let us pray. whose mortal life is but a breath, stand before you along with all those who have passed on before us, to offer our thanks and praise that is due your holy name. We lift up grateful hearts for those who gave their lives for the sake of others, who sought to pave a way for peace, and who courageously fought for justice with all that they had to give. Thank you for this country and the blessings we enjoy to worship you openly and live in liberty. For our friends and loved ones, whose faces we no longer see, but whose lives remain treasured in our hearts, we give you thanks and ask that you comfort all who still mourn their absence. Jesus, you rule over all the earth. Inspire the minds of all men and women who are in positions of leadership in government. Give them a zeal for truth and a passion for justice that mirrors your example. We pray for all around the world who are without the liberties we so often take for granted. There is so much work still needing to be done. Protect all who are in harm's way and bring them comfort and peace. Forgive our shortcomings as a nation and fill us with your spirit for active service in the world. May we increasingly use our liberty in accordance with your will, as we boldly proclaim the good news that Christ's death and resurrection have made eternal freedom possible for all. Let love guide us as your wisdom leads us, uniting our hearts as one as we pray together the words Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to invite our ushers forward now as we prepare to receive our offering, and let us once again go to God in prayer. Thank you, loving and gracious God, for all that you have blessed our lives with. We now give back to you out of everything that you have given to us. May you use our gifts of money and our offerings to further your work in this world. And we offer all that we are, Lord. We surrender our entire being, our time, our gifts, use everything for your glory and for your work in this kingdom. May it all be multiplied in Jesus' name. Amen.
May your voice be clearer.
so well with where we're headed this morning. It is always a privilege to stand here in this pulpit and to share the Word of God with you. And I just wanted to briefly say something occurred to me this week in our church council meeting that I would be standing here this Sunday ahead of Dan standing here one more time this coming Sunday, and then standing here, what I said at the church council meeting, in the aftermath of that final Sunday 2 weeks from today. And I feel that responsibility, but I'm so grateful that Lenora and I are going to be able to help lead this church in worship over the next couple of months after Dan and Jan have ridden off into the sunset and we await Stephen Catherine's arrival later this summer. Before we begin this morning, though, would you please pray with me? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this morning so that in the reading of the Scripture, your word is heard. In the meditations of our hearts, your word is known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. So this morning's passage comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. Hear now the word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks. Raise your hand if you've seen Rob Reiner's classic movie, The Princess Bride. Okay. Congratulations. You've met my first requirement for us to be best friends. If you haven't seen it, well, I just have to ask, why on earth not? I mean, you've had almost 30 years to see one of the best movies ever filmed. Anyway, one of my favorite scenes is when Fezzik and Inigo bring the mostly dead body of Wesley to Miracle Max for help, and Miracle Max takes a bellows, fits it into Wesley's mouth, and then does this, filling his lungs with air, and then says, "Hey, hello in there. Hey, what's so important? What you got here that's worth living for?" And then he takes his hands to his chest and he pushes, and these words come leaking from Wesley's lips. And Indigo exclaims, "True love, you heard him. You cannot ask for a more noble cause than that." To which Max replies, "Sonny, true love is the greatest thing in the world." And then from there, of course, the hilarity continues, and I really could quote this movie all sermon long. Just ask my family sitting here in the front row, but I won't. The point of my sharing this with you is that in the midst of their comedic exchange, Inigo and Miracle Max speak a deep truth about love. Love is indeed noble, and it is the greatest thing in the world. And love is central to Jesus' last words for his disciples. You see, our passage this morning is right in the middle of what is known as Jesus' final discourse. That begins in John chapter 13, where we read about Jesus celebrating the Passover, washing the feet of his disciples, and then partaking with them in the Last Supper. And then the discourse ends in John chapter 17, where we find Jesus kneeling in prayer at the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, it's in the beginning of this discourse, in John chapter 13, where Jesus says to his disciples, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And Jesus, of course, repeats this command in what we've already heard this morning in John 15:17. "This is my command, love each other." Now, there is a lot we could unpack from these 17 verses this morning, but I want for us to pay particular attention to what Jesus has to say about love. First, what is love? I looked up the word love on dictionary.com and found that love has 14 different definitions when it is used as a noun and 7 different definitions when used as a verb. Not that dictionary.com is the source, but just as an example. Now, it's quite common in the English language for words to have multiple meanings, while in other languages we discover that there are multiple words used to convey different meanings. In the English language, we tend to economize our words, and this sometimes adds difficulty to overcoming language barriers. You know, we say something to someone for whom English is a second language, and they become confused and say, "You keep on using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means." So in Greek, there are 4 different words used to convey the different meanings for our one word, love. The first is eros, which means an intimate or physical sort of love. It is the root of the word erotic, for example. Eros does not appear in the New Testament. The second is storge, which can be understood to mean love in the familial sense, like the love parents have for their children. It is used only a few times in the New Testament and is actually combined in some cases with the third word for love, phileo, which means a friendly or companionable sort of love. Maybe you've heard of the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, phileo being the root of Philadelphia. Now, that word, phileo, is used 22 times in the New Testament. The fourth word for love, and the one that Jesus used throughout our passage this morning, is agape, which is an unconditional and self-sacrificing love. It means complete devotion to someone. Agape is used 114 times in the New Testament, mostly by Jesus and the Apostle Paul. In other words, when something appears 114 times, we should pay attention to it. So when it comes to answering what is agape love, I'd like for us to turn to my friend Steve Harper, who wrote a little book called The Five Marks of a Methodist, in which he writes, and I'm paraphrasing somewhat, it is a love full of love to all humankind. I love that. It is a love full of love to all humankind. It extends to people we don't know and to people whose lives we don't approve of. It extends even to our enemies. In other words, it is the kind of love that isn't given because of the nature of who we give it to, but because of the nature of whom we have received it from. There is no more radical love than this, to love everyone, regardless. To love everyone, regardless. This is the kind of love Jesus meant when giving us a new mandate, a new commandment, to love each other selflessly and sacrificially, because that is how God, through Jesus Christ, has loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, having answered the question, what is love? It almost seems unnecessary to me to ask why. Why should we do agape love? It seems to me the obvious answer should be because Jesus said so. After all, in my house, when I tell my kids to do something and they ask me why, I commonly say, because I said so. Isn't that how we're supposed to do it? But to provide a serious answer to why, I'll say this. As God's people in the world today, as the hands and feet of Christ, we have been chosen for this kind of love. Would you agree that Trinity is a community chosen by God to make God's love real in the world? If you agree, say amen. Okay, a few of you really agree. Would you agree that Trinity is a community chosen by God to make God's love real in the world? If you agree, say amen. Okay, now we're cooking. Then in order for our love to be agape love, it must be expressed as an action. Love must be expressed as an action. In his book, Love Does, Bob Goff has something to say about love being an action. He says that love is never a stationary thing. Love isn't something we just think about or keep planning for. Love is something we do. Simply put, like his book so cleverly states, love does. Love does. As a community of faith, Trinity certainly does a lot of love. Pastor Dan referenced several things in his beautiful portrayal of Peter last Sunday. Our children's ministry, our youth ministry, the hospitality we show on this amazing campus, playing host all day, every day to folks in our community, on our athletic field, in our worship center, in our classrooms, in our chapel. Whatever the occasion, the hospitality of our church serves to point others toward the love and grace of God and invite them into something much bigger than ourselves. More beautiful still are the countless examples of how the people of Trinity do love beyond the walls of our church. We have our local mission work at Faith Mission and mission work around the globe, from Jamaica to Haiti to Malawi and beyond. We are indeed a community of faith in covenant together to share our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness out of our shared commitment to make disciples of Jesus Christ, committed to making a difference in the world. Glory to God. Trinity does love in part because of Dr. Dan Johnson's tremendous leadership of our church these past 22 years. Trinity will continue to do love in the world long after we celebrate Dan's final worship service with us this weekend. And we will have tremendous leadership in Steve and Catherine Price as they will take us into our next chapter of making God's love real in the world. Like our passage for today suggests, because we are rooted in God's love as branches on the vine, we will continue to bear the fruit of God's love. Now, having explored the what and the why of agape love, I want for us to take a moment and discuss how. And I can answer this rather simply, too, by remaining or abiding, as some translations put it, in the love of God. God, through Jesus Christ, is the very source of the agape love we give others. And to be sure we get it, Jesus tells us to do this several times. Verse 4. Remain or abide in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Verse 9. Now remain in my love. Verse 10. If you keep my command, you will remain in my love. Do you get that Jesus is trying to make a point here? Remain in my love. But this still begs the question, how do we remain in God's love? In a word, grace. Grace. Apart from grace, agape love is simply impossible. We might be able to display some form of love that might meet one of the definitions found on dictionary.com, but it likely won't be agape. To quote Steve Harper again, apart from grace, we will love other people conditionally, and worse still, we will set the conditions for giving our love. I want to read that again. Apart from grace, we will love other people conditionally, and worse still, we will set the conditions for giving our love. Does that sound a bit too familiar to some of you? Maybe to all of you, hopefully to all of you. I think for me it might be exacerbated by the fact that it's an election year, but too much of what I'm reading on the news and in the blogosphere reeks of conditional love. I will love you if you look like me, if you think like me, if you act like me, if you believe like me. Living out the gospel message of Jesus Christ, making God's love real in the world in the way that it's always been intended for us to do, can never include conditions. Can never include conditions. It is, I love you, period. Never, I love you, but. As followers of Jesus Christ in the Methodist tradition, we can sum up the essentials of how Jesus has chosen us to live out the gospel in this way. And this is something positive that came from the blogosphere, written by a Methodist campus minister by the name of Morgan Guyton. God's grace is our foundation. Perfection in love is our goal. The means of grace are our method. God's grace is our foundation. We Methodists are a people of grace. Amen? Perfection in love is our goal. We Methodists believe in personal holiness, that as we grow in our faith, we become more fully who God made us to be. We become more Christ-like. The means of grace are our method. It is this third piece that is the key to how we remain or how we abide in the love of God, the means of grace made available to us. And they are works of piety and works of mercy. We believe in faith and works. So when it comes to works of piety, there are the individual things that we as followers of Jesus are called to do in our lives. Reading, meditating, and studying the scriptures. Prayer, fasting, regularly attending worship. Thank you for being here on a holiday weekend. There are more of you here than I expected today. Healthy living and sharing our faith with others. Those are things that we do in our own Christian lives. But then together, communally, we do these things. We regularly share in the sacraments, as we will here in a moment. We're called to Christian conferencing, which means that we hold each other accountable to Christian living. And we study the Bible together. And now all of these works of piety, these things that help us grow in our faith and propel us into action, they make us want to do good works in the world for the sake of others and for the sake of God. So individually, we can do good works. We can visit the sick. We can visit those in prison. We can feed the hungry. And we can give generously to the needs of others. And then together, as a community, we seek justice. We seek to end oppression and discrimination in all their forms. For instance, John Wesley challenged British Methodists to end slavery. The abolition of slavery began in British Methodism and addressing the needs of the poor. These practices are how we remain in Christ. These practices help us to be fruit-bearing branches on His vine, making God's agape love real in the world. Being a farm boy from Ohio, I know Dan loves this passage. Heard him preach on it a couple of times. He would love it even more if over the next couple of days, as we prepare to express our gratitude for his pastoral leadership and care over these many years, and we prepare to send Dan and Jan with our love and blessing into retirement, if you would take the time to share with him how he has impacted your life and any influence he might have had on your fruit-bearing for God as you've shared space and time with him on Trinity's branches on the vine of Christ. See, that's what we are. We're all branches on the vine of Christ. And Dan has been there with us for 22 years. So one of the ways that you could share these memories with him is to create a memory page like I spoke about at the top of the service. 8x11 card stock to go in a scrapbook for him and Dan to read later. Return those in to Kim Lorenz in the bookstore by Thursday. Or send him an email or when you see him, tell him. But in addition to that, I'd like to also ask you to prayerfully consider a couple of things this week. How are you doing in practicing the means of grace made available to you to help you remain in Christ? What might you need to work on? And also, if love does, what do you do? Meaning, if agape love must be expressed as an action, what do you do? Or what might you need to start doing to participate in what is indeed the most noble and greatest thing in all the world? Let us pray. God of amazing love, agape. God of unspeakable joy and grace, you are love. And that love lives in us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to live in and share and show that love and joy to others. May love always speak, whether it is by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness, or by any words or actions that make your love real in the world. Grant that we may always reflect Jesus in our acts of love, and may we bear much fruit for the glory of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. table together. I've been reminded throughout the week this week of some words that come from Leonard Sweet, who is a theologian and pastor in the Methodist Church today. And he likes to sum up the Old Testament in three sentences and the New Testament in three sentences. So he sums up the Old Testament by saying, "They're trying to kill us. We survive. Let's eat," which is the story of Israel throughout the Old Testament. But then he'd like to sum up the New Testament this way: "I love you. I forgive you. Let's eat." And so, Jay, would you please bring up the movie? The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Those of you who would be helping us serve the communion elements this morning, would you please come and make the stations ready now? Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. In the United Methodist Church, communion is an open table. You don't have to be a member of Trinity or any United Methodist Church for that matter. You simply come if you are invited to. But please come to all of you. In the meantime, please stand, take the hand of someone near you, and receive this blessing, and may it encourage you, empower you to go into the world this week and make God's love real. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his